Welcome to the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. This episode is going to be really cool. This show is for business owners in their 40s and 50s who deeply desire a business that serves the market strong and who deeply desire to finish strong personally. I'm your host, Scott Kochenour. Glad you're here. We have a great show for you today, and it's going to encourage you to get out of your own way. How do you do that? Well, it's through a process you will know be introduced called creative thinking. How can you creatively think about what is going on in your life? So to set this up, I want to remind you that of the six hallmarks of a fantastic fourth quarter. Let's go through them. Number one, being spiritually anchored. Number two, being physically fit. Number three, being relationally rich. Number four, being emotionally healthy. Number five, vocationally aligned. And number six, financially free. If you're firing on all six cylinders, you are a picture of health. You are having the time of your life, and it is an exciting time, and you're on your way to finishing strong. The challenge is we are never at 10 out of 10 on all six hallmarks. In fact, you may be listening to this podcast and you're thinking, you know what? There are a couple of areas that I am a 2 or a 1 or a negative 5. I'm overwhelmed. I'm fatigued. I'm burned out. I'm missing out. I've lost something along the way, or I have completed something and I'm wondering what's next. We are going to talk about creative thinking as it relates to how we can grow our assessment on all six hallmarks. My guest today is Veronica Scarpellino, who is a creativity and innovation coach, a master facilitator, and founder of Goldfinch Leadership LLC, which provides leadership and coaching services to business owners and entrepreneurs, executives, managers, and career transitioners, and designs customized workshops and training for individuals and teams. Listen to some of the things that some of her clients have said. She has designed a unique training program called Applied Creativity, The Future of Work is Creative, through which professionals workshop an aspiration, a challenge, or an obstacle while learning how to expand their creative thinking skills. Here are some of the things that people are saying after they've worked with her. I was blown away. I am invigorated after each session. It helped boost creativity and spark new ideas. They called the program freeing, extremely valuable, and a breath of fresh air. We're going to talk about that program and where you can go to find her work. But man, this is going to be so good. I want you to put away your preconceived ideas about thinking and just listen to Veronica as she explains how to be more creative in your thinking and the benefits that you will receive because of it. Veronica, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott.
Yes. And so we're talking about the six hallmarks. We're talking about creating a fourth quarter that we absolutely enjoy along the way, and that, as is true for all of us, we don't get out of this life alive. We want to finish strong. And whatever finish strong means to us personally, for some, it means I want to leave a legacy. I want to create something that it perpetually moves and goes beyond my lifespan. A lot of the listeners, as we are entering our fourth quarter or maybe already in our fourth quarter, this idea of meaning and purpose has become forefront. And we start thinking outside of ourselves to others. And that's just a kind of a natural for many people. That's a natural change. So when it comes to creative thinking, that's the big topic. What is creative thinking best used for? What scenarios can you think of where creative thinking would really make a difference?
Well, creative thinking works in quite an array of scenarios. But for example, when you're challenged with an obstacle or a problem that needs to be solved, and the tools that you have at your disposal that have worked before aren't working anymore, or it needs to be new and different. And creative thinking can open up different avenues of solving a problem in such a way that maybe wasn't evident before, or you didn't take the time to explore before. It can also be tapped when you're, you know, as they would say, emotionally flooded, when you are encountering something that's bringing up a lot of feelings for you. It could be fear or anxiety, frustration. It could be the unknown that's creeping up in front of you. And creative thinking can help you put into perspective the things that you have control over and those things that you don't, to evaluate the resources that you have at your disposal, how to adapt those resources, maybe repurpose them, and how to come up with a solution that feels like it is something that you can really lean into and that will have a positive outcome. So creative thinking, you can hear by the way I'm describing it, that it is not situated exclusively in a situation where you're creating something visual or aesthetic or a cultural output. That creative thinking is applied to problem solving and to overcoming challenges.
Those who have followed me will no doubt know what I'm talking about here. When we are fatigued or overwhelmed or burnout, feeling like we missed out, we've lost something along the way, that is a lack of agency, which means we're now feeling like we're being controlled, we're tethered, we are at the mercy of circumstances or other people's decisions. And it's a pretty horrible way to live. You know, I think we were designed to have agency. And the way I describe agency is the having at your disposal options, which also then give you choice. And when you have choice, as Viktor Frankl will tell you in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, in the Holocaust concentration camps, what kept him going was realizing that no matter what happens to him, there is this idea that they can't take away my choice. That's the essence of agency. So what we're talking about is life happens. We go through stages and things change. And what we had, which was a good thing for a long time, is now subject to question. For example, a business owner who created and founded a business in their late 20s. Now they're pushing 60. That's 40 years of, if my math is correct, that's 40 years of living with this baby that they created and developed. And the staff have become like family to them. But now they're facing change, a stage which is very natural. It's this natural stage of life. And it's calling into question, what is the role of this business and these people who work for me? When I look at your bio, and I look at the words and the phrases of people who have been a part of your program, they're saying, I'm invigorated after each session. It helped boost creativity and spark new ideas. Freeing, extremely valuable, a breath of fresh air. To me, those are the evidences of agency. You have created agency for your clients. So I'm really glad that you're on this call, because I have this, you know, I want my clients, I want my market to enter this fourth quarter with agency. So creative thinking, let's talk about that some more. What keeps us from thinking creatively? What are barriers to thinking creatively?
There's so much in what you were just saying, and so excited to talk about so many aspects of it. But to answer your question, there are some pretty typical barriers that people encounter that do block their creative thinking. And one is that they're thinking too small. They're not thinking expansively about what's possible. And that's often caused by their own limiting beliefs about what they can achieve with what they may or may not have. Mm-hmm. So it could also be a misunderstanding of the resources that they have at their disposal. But another major barrier is that they're thinking too specifically about what it is that they want. And by fixating on that specificity, they're essentially putting blinders on themselves for other opportunities that could help them reach what it is that they're really going for. This is something that I spend a lot of time working with my clients about, which is identifying what is your real aspiration here. And how do we know you're not being distracted by this specific outcome? So talking about what is the feeling that you're going for? What is the sensation? How will you know when you've reached it? Because if you're able to gain clarity and articulate what it is you really need and want, then you're much more likely to notice the abundance of opportunities and hints that you get on a daily basis that can lead you to achieving it. And so that specificity can get in the way. And, you know, you're talking about the choices that we all have. And, you know, sometimes we don't recognize that we have choices because we don't like what those choices are. But coming to terms with the fact that you do, in fact, have the choice, even if the choices are, it's like worse and worser, right? Like, which one do you really want to go for? But the creative thinking can also allow you to think about the situation differently so that your choices become more dynamic. Maybe you've added a third, fourth, and even fifth choice that you didn't even think of before because you were fixated, again, on these items in a specific way.
Yeah, I'm going to pause you there for a second. This is the reason I don't like the phrase exit strategy. Because it is so limiting. I know that's not the intent. And there's a fantastic group out there called the Exit Planning Institute out of Cleveland, Ohio, and do some fantastic work. The phrase exit strategy, here's the reason I don't like it. It's because right off the bat, you think, okay, the only option I have is to sell my business and then go do something that I don't know what I'm going to do. Because this has been my life, my identity for all these years. So exit strategy is actually a stressor to me. I prefer the phrase options strategy because it's a strategy that, man, there are so many different ways you can go about doing what you're going to do with your business. You don't have to leave. You could become chairman of the board or chairperson of the board. You could sell 95% of it. And own, don't run. Let the new owners build the business up higher than you could ever, and then cash out on the last 5% at a higher. So it's an aggregate higher than if you were to just sell everything. A lot of different things, ESOPs. So the reason I wanted to jump in here is because I love the idea that you don't have to be so specific. Creative thinking gets you to step back further and look at a broader context and look at multiple potential. And some of those options may at first seem crazy, right?
They would. Some of them are kind of outlandish.
Yeah. Yeah. So the benefits of creative thinking, let's just list a few things. In your work with your clients, what have some of your clients been able to do because of the creative thinking process?
Oh, I mean, and I have my clients make a list of what their goals are when they start. And because of the aspirational work, and we do also do exercises on identifying their core values, which brings, again, additional clarity to the driving force. What's your North Star? And the goals end up being these intangibles that kind of seem like pipe dreams. Mm-hmm. To have joy on a daily basis, to feel fulfilled, to put family first, to feel like the work that they do has purpose. And those are very aspirational. And then going through the process using creative thinking techniques and creative thinking coaching for them to discover what their own path could be, to then come to the other side and say, I do feel joy every day. This is fun. I'm doing something that really lets me leverage my unique interests and skill sets, borrowing from all of the things I've done before in a new way, I'm able to prioritize in a different way. And that's one, so fulfilling as a coach to be able to help somebody get there, but to have them at the end look back at the goals that they set at the beginning and what they thought about those goals when they wrote them down. Mm-hmm. And to then say, now, did you think you could get there? And how did you do this? What did you need to do? And have them really think about that process so that they could do it again. And so that it could become not just a coach guided process, but something that allowed them to develop creative thinking habits that they could unleash to add more tools to their toolbox. Mm-hmm. And to have these habits actually stick. I mean, that's a big promise too. Mm-hmm. But to have that happen is really just amazing for my clients.
So I want to talk about, you referred to a couple of things, techniques. Mm-hmm. And on the podcast, I like to do more than just talk about something. Mm-hmm. But to create some, you know, what are some techniques? Give me an example of a creative thinking technique. Mm-hmm. We'll start there, and then I have a follow-up question.
Okay. So one of my favorite techniques that I use on a daily basis in my own life is the idea of challenging limits. Limits are the restrictions that we perceive around a situation. And there's sort of two big buckets of thinking when you're challenging limits. One is to create false limits, to take this overwhelming, gangly, you know, could go anywhere, so many options situation, and to give it three false limits that could be time-based, so a false deadline. That could be descriptive based. So it has to meet only these, you know, these are the three criteria. It could be size. It could be color. It could be ingredients, for example. And another big one is budget. So maybe you need to put a false budget on something as well. You could spend more, but what if you didn't have to? And by creating this border, these constraints around the challenge, it does sort of something counterintuitive. It actually frees you up to think more creatively and to have more ideas than if the sky was the limit. Hmm. Now, the opposite of that is to remove existing limits. So just to use one as the example, let's say budget has been a big issue. And all that has been going on is ideas have been shut down because the budget was the reason. Well, what ideas could you come up with if there was no budget? You could spend what you needed. And you create this long list of all of these amazing blue sky thinking ideas of what you could do. Now, put that limit back and reconsider your budget. Chances are, most of those ideas are way beyond your budget, but there are going to be kernels of ideas or even some really innovative ideas that you can pull off within the budget that you have. And you can do that with time. You can do that with resources. You can do that with the variety of things that you have as a limit.
The components mm-hmm. of creative thinking. There's time, resources, which would include budget. Are there any other additional things that you could add to your creative thinking?
Oh, many. Oh, your resources, you can think very literally as far as, you know, time and space, but you can also think more metaphorically. So, you know, think in terms of who do you know? Who could you know? What do you know? The resources that could be space bound and time bound to a specific event, or it could be space bound and time bound to a season or to sort of like, you know, it's baseball season right now. What does that mean? Right. So resources can also be much more expansive in that regard. And so hopefully that's helpful in thinking in terms of what could be bound to the creative process.
So it seems like by default, we tend to limit ourselves. And therefore, we need these habits of creative thinking to break the default mm-hmm. of limits. We didn't talk about this at all, but I'm just going to ask you to conjecture, you know, what do you think is the reason we don't naturally engage in creative thinking?
That's an excellent question. And I have thought about that a lot. But, you know, and one thing that comes to mind is that, you know, I've been reading about children who are naturally inquisitive. You know, here are these creatures who have no expectation on the world. They don't know how things work. So they are constantly surprised by what's happening. And they ask hundreds of questions a day. Mm-hmm. And as they gain experience and they start to see patterns and they start to see the way that the world is reacting to certain things, they start to weed out some of these questions and they don't ask them anymore. And then also societally, we are also trained to not be too inquisitive. And you think about a classroom situation where asking too many questions can get in the way of the flow of the teaching. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, we stop asking questions. We stop challenging our perception and we start relying too much on our own experience to filter out what reality and possibilities are. We, by circumstance, end up training ourselves to stop thinking, what if, which is an incredibly powerful question.
It's funny you would say that. I was tracking with you all along and I was thinking, what are some phrases that would break us out of this cycle? What if? Other phrases that you work with with your clients that turn of a phrase that changes everything, like what if?
What if is a specific question, but another might be using metaphor. Often the challenge that we're up against has a lot of emotional burden attached to it. And by using a metaphor, we can get out of ourselves and see with greater clarity. And then it gives us new perspective into our problem.
Yeah.
You know, having somebody think in sort of the inverse, like if you're trying to solve this problem, well, what would it be like if you were trying to create this problem?
That's great.
And if you were to create that problem, how would you solve that? Right. And so that might give you some ideas as to really create what is it that you're really trying to solve here? And, you know, learning something new is also really important. Following your curiosity, not for the sake of using that information for a specific purpose, but just because you're interested. Mm-hmm. And because of the way that our brains work and because of the way our brains are constantly wired to solve a problem using the resources that we have at our disposal. So that's our own experiences and our own knowledge. And if that's very limited, then our toolbox is too small. And by learning something new, you're able to associate, have an association to something that can give you insight in a way that maybe you couldn't have before.
Okay.
It's not exactly answering your question, but these are additional techniques that can be deployed.
That's fantastic. And I want to go back to what you just said about how we rely on what's at our disposal, our mm-hmm. experience, our knowledge, which is limited. And I can just hear a 62-year-old listener saying, are you kidding? My experience and knowledge limited? I've got a vast library that I've accumulated over the years. And yes, you have. But I think let's talk about that limited. When we say limited, we don't mean that you only know so much about what you do. You know a vast amount of what you do, but speak to that limit. What do you mean by limit?
Ooh, I love this question because you're right. And somebody who has that level of experience has immense resources at their disposal. But if you are trying to fix your power outlet with a screwdriver, what is that going to get you? Mm-hmm. So maybe you're using the wrong tool. Maybe you're using the wrong piece of information, or maybe you're doing it wrong. Maybe mm-hmm. you're just, you know, you're not supposed to hold that side of the hammer. And so by using creative thinking techniques, you can tap into your vast rich and powerful knowledge base and use it in a new way that is exciting and motivating, that can give you new ideas that have just been laying dormant. And it's really empowering to be able to tap into your knowledge base in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads you to, instead of running away from a situation, running toward a situation, leaning into the excitement of something new, but using what you have at your disposal.
It's interesting, the fact that we go through stages of life as opposed to seasons. Seasons come and go, and we get back into the saddle, and like, you break your leg, you have to wear a cast for a period of time. It changes things for a period, but then you get back to normal. That's a season. A stage, however, once you've reached that stage, there's no going back. I ran a marathon back in when I was mid-30s. It was quite a challenge for me. It was a Pittsburgh marathon, very hilly. Finished it, felt good about that, loved the experience. I'm 58 right now at the time of this recording. If I were to do the same exact training methodology that I did when I was in my 30s, it wouldn't turn out as well. It would turn out differently, right? So I'd have to do things differently because I'm in this stage of life. So in a particular situation as a business owner, that I have worked with this business for all these decades, when I ran it in my 20s and 30s, my second quarter and my third quarter, now I'm in my fourth quarter. To me, that's a limit. That's a natural limit, because we may know a lot about the business and how to run it, and otherwise we wouldn't have succeeded up to this point. But we are at a different stage of life. So that changes some things, and we need to look at it differently. And I think, to me, that's what limit means.
Mm-hmm.
We are limited because we are coming at it from a different stage of life. And I'd be interested in your thoughts. I need to adopt the attitude of a student. I need to be a student every stage of life. Otherwise, I could, like you say, limit, I could rely on just my experience. And the thing is, the experience I have at 30 and 40 years old is different than the experience at 50, 60. So that's why I think this is just a fantastic episode, so that we can get out of our own way and think creatively, because we need to. I'll bet a lot of listeners, me included, are in a deeper rut than we ever thought we would be. And creative thinking gets us out of that rut. And yet that's where the life is. That's where people say, I'm invigorated after each session. This is freeing, a breath of fresh air. You know, creative thinking gets us up out of whatever it is we're in.
It's almost like magic.
That's what it sounds like.
It's almost like magic, but it's not. It's not, it's predictable, and it's something you can do on demand.
Mm.
You know, if I could say, I agree with you about, you know, the stage of life, each stage, you've never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing in your experience is like where you are. You can liken it to, you know, not stepping into the same river twice. The water, it's changed. The shore might be the same, but it's not the same river.
Yeah.
And, you know, wise woman, my mother, once told me, and said it many times, that people or situations come into your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And by not understanding which one of those it is, it can cause you pain or it can cause you gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, you've never been here before. It's different. But you don't have to be alone. And there are tools that you can harness and still rely on all that rich expertise that you hold. And it's pretty remarkable.
Let's enter, as we land this plane metaphorically, let's finish off with a couple of things that the listeners can actually do practically once they finish this episode. And this is my follow-up question to the techniques question and habits question that we were talking about, techniques that we can do. Give us one or two actual exercises that we can do as soon as we're done listening to this podcast.
I would venture to guess that your listeners have gained some clarity on their values at this stage. But if it's been a while since they have done that, sat down and actually thought about it and written something down, I highly recommend that they do, because at each stage of your life, your core values shift and change because your situation has changed and your priorities change. So start with re-identifying what your core values are. And then the next step is to think about what is it that you really want and let go of that specificity. What is it that will give you energy? What drains you? Why do you want that? What's in it for you? What's in the way if you don't do that? And that will lead you to a much better understanding of what your goals are, what your next steps might be.
Okay. Let's go back to that values clarification. How do I go about clarifying my values? Are there key questions that I can ask myself?
There are some really fantastic lists that are generated. You can just Google core values lists and you can get just, 100 words that hit quite an array of different things that would be considered values. Of course, those will not be all inclusive. One of your key ones might not be on there, so add it. And it might be hard to narrow it down. So it might end up being circle all the ones that make sense and see if you can cluster them, the ones that are alike, put those together as a way of encapsulating what that value might stand for. And see how much whittling down you can do to get it to three to five core values. Okay. Because when you have that kind of clarity on the values, then challenges and questions that come your way are easier to answer. Mm-hmm. Because if they support your values, that's a very positive energy around that. And if it goes against your values, that's an easy decision to make.
Right. Right. It makes decision making simple, not easy, but simple. Right. Mm-hmm. So the values, the three to five core values, if everyone listening were to reestablish their connection with their core values, even if it's they didn't change, at least bringing to front of mind, what are my three to five core values? Google core values list. There's enough out there about core values. Get that list, let it spark some ideas in you as to what you really value in life as you're entering the fourth quarter. They may be the same that you've had for years. They may be different. My guess is if you were to take the list of five, that if you'd have done them in your 30s and the list of five today, there would be a couple that'd be different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then start there and build from there. That's the wall upon which you will create, you will lean your ladder and you will climb that ladder of your fourth quarter, leaning against the right wall. This has been really, really helpful. And man, I can't imagine being a client of yours who has had like the lid blown off and having all sorts of new ways of looking at things. I think sometimes we need to drop the vase and let it break so we can look at life totally different.
Well, you know what they say about eggs?
What? I mean, but
you can't make an omelet if you don't break a few eggs.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep. And omelets are a lot more tasty than just an egg with the shell on it. It's just personal preference. So if someone is listening to this and then they're saying, you know what, I need Veronica's program called Applied Creativity. Where do they find you? Where can they go to find you?
Well, the two best ways to find me are on LinkedIn, and they can just use my name to look for it, or my company, which is Goldfinch Leadership, or they can go to the website, goldfinchleadership.com. Goldfinch Like the Bird, leadership.com. Okay. And there's a pay tab at the top of my website that says Future of Work. And that describes the Applied Creativity, the Future of Work is Creative program.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And by the way, where did Goldfinch come from?
Well, many moons ago, I was born and raised in the state of New Jersey, and the state bird is a goldfinch. So it is a little bit of a nod to my foundation, my upbringing. Okay. But the goldfinch also represents creativity and abundance and ingenuity. And it was a perfect metaphor,
right,
which I'm all about,
yep,
for what my coaching process is to represent.
Yes. Yes. So beautiful. I love that. I love the story behind what somebody's doing and the spark that caused them to do that. So goldfinchleadership.com, look up Veronica and her program, Applied Creativity, and get yourself out of your rut so that you can develop that master plan for your fourth quarter and finish strong. Veronica, it's been a pleasure being with you.
Oh, I've loved this conversation. Thank you so much for inviting me, Scott.
This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. My name is Scott Kochenour. I'm glad that you joined us. A couple of things I'd like you to do. Number one, subscribe so that you can be notified of the episodes coming up. I have you in mind as I either draft and create a script for a monologue or as I vet guests that I have on the show. We are talking about how to create your business to such a degree that it gives you a lot of options. And secondly, we're talking, and that's the Serve Strong part of the show. The Finish Strong is how can we create a master plan for a great fourth quarter to where you are able to live a fulfilling existence and finish strong. So subscribe. That's the first thing. Second thing, go to servingstrong.com/pod, P-O-D. servingstrong.com/pod. That's where I put additional information that's related to the episodes. And you can look at that and you can see and maybe interact with me a little bit more, which leads to my third thing I'd like you to do. And that is send me by email, coach@servingstrong.com. Send me your impression of after hearing this, or send me comments as to where I went wrong on this episode, or send me praise, or send me questions. Whatever you want to send me, email me coach@servingstrong.com. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. I take your time very seriously. Therefore, my pledge is to continue bringing you information and insight you need to be successful in your adventure as you finish strong. Be sure to check the show notes for the information related in this episode. Subscribe to be notified when new shows drop and leave a review if you're so inclined. I'll talk to you next time.